This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby, BC's number one Toyota dealer for the sales purchase experience.
Hey, and welcome back to the show. It's good to have you along. We are doing open phones today for the last time for the next couple of weeks. We're hoping that we can get you on the phone because we won't have an opportunity to take your phone calls. We have some great shows that are coming up next week. A good pal of mine, Tony Morris Jr., is going to be coming on the airwaves explaining the technology behind modern vehicles, stability control, traction control, how they work, and the benefits that they have for you. And we'll also talk a little bit about your driving attitude when you're behind the wheel. He's a performance driving instructor, teaches at racetracks. He's also a precision driver. Have you ever seen TV commercials where a car is being driven in the TV commercial? Many times it's Tony Morris Jr. You might remember in the winter, Kia had an ad where they had Old Man Winter was chasing two Kia cars across sort of a winter ice field, and he was driving one of those vehicles. You might have seen the Mr. Lube commercials where the guy's singing Turn Me Loose in the old Firebird or whatever it is, and he's driving that car. And also the Mr. Lube commercial where the car does donuts in the parking lot. Yeah, that's him driving. So Tony Morris is a guy that's been in the car biz, not selling cars, but related to vehicles and dynamics and how they work. So it's an interesting and educational segment for next week. In addition, I'm going to have an interview with Dave Sargent from J.D. Power & Associates. He'll be talking about the initial quality study that just came out about vehicles and how they are basically studied for quality in the first 90 days and how many improvements there have been, and there have been many. And there's a major category where the car manufacturers are taking it on the chin when it comes to the quality of their cars. It basically boils down to the communications and computer interfaces in cars, and this is where the new manufacturers are getting nailed. You might think of a vehicle like a Ford with their My Ford Touch. They're getting nailed because they find it too confusing. It isn't working that well. So we'll have somebody on from J.D. Power & Associates. The following week, Jeff Rubin, former chief economist for CIBC, is going to be on with his new book, The End of Growth, talking about oil, transportation, and how neighborhoods, cities, and the way we live could change dramatically in the next 10 years as oil prices will continue to creep higher. He claims it's not because the world is running out of oil. The problem is we're running out of inexpensive oil to get out of the ground. Putting a well in the ground in Texas or in Saudi Arabia is no longer the way to go. We have to drill deeper and farther and use big buckets of oil sands and boil it up and then send it down a pipe. And that's all going to affect the price that we pay to run our vehicles and our lives. And everything that we use depends on oil. So that's an interesting conversation with Jeff Rubin. And then the following week, we'll have Dennis DeRosier on talking about the auto marketplace and what's happening out there and how it affects you, say, with incentives and those sorts of things. So because we have all of that coming up, it's open phones today at 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. And we say hello to Elaine. Hey, Elaine, go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Zach. I just wanted to say how much my husband and I enjoy having breakfast with you each Sunday morning.
Oh, that's great. What are we eating today?
Because
I like bacon. I've never met bacon that I didn't like.
Is that right? Well, so do we.
And I never met a potato I didn't like.
Oh,
you
well,
can fry it. You can bake it. I love those potatoes. That's my Scottish heritage.
Together, right.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm calling is we recently bought a 2012 Honda Fit. And unlike in previous years, when they were made in Japan, this year they're being made in China. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on whether or not this might have any effect on quality and reliability, et cetera.
Well, let me just look into that, because J.D. Power & Associates, which I just referred to, Honda won for their assembly plant where they make the Fit. And that, I don't believe, has changed. The Fit is maybe made in China for the Chinese market, but it says here, Honda Motor Company's Suzuka 3 plant in Japan produces the Honda CR-Z, that's their hybrid, and the Fit, and receives a Platinum Plant Assembly Line Quality Award for producing, for yielding models with the fewest defects.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
I would, and here's the thing. When you go out to your car next, you know what the VIN plate is?
Yes.
Under the one, you can see it through the windshield,
yes.
Right? If the first letter is J,
uh-huh.
it's made in Japan.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the fit is for our market is made for, I think that the Chinese factory is building cars for the Chinese market.
Well, on the, when you open the driver's side door on the side of the vehicle, it does say made in China.
Really?
Yes, it does.
Well, maybe that's just the transition because
yes, I think so.
This must have just been a new development because I have from here the 2012 uh-huh. vehicles. The Honda Motor Company was awarded the Platinum Award for the fewest defects.
Uh-huh.
Also, by the way, the plant in Cambridge, Ontario, where they make the Corolla and the Lexus RX, also uh-huh. won an award. So
yes.
that gets a was it get a gold? It gets a gold award. So that's mm-hmm. a Canadian plant gets the gold award.
Right, I'm not surprised.
So mm-hmm. what? I'll put you on hold. You want to do something for me?
Certainly.
Go out to your car.
Yes.
Let me tell me what the first letter is
okay.
of your VIN.
I'll
okay?
do that.
I'll put
go
you
right
on
down.
Hold.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. There we go. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to answer another call. I will come back to Elaine. Fred, hey, what's up?
Hi, Zach. Zach, when buying a used vehicle, how do you know you're getting a good vehicle? Do you take a mechanic with you? And is the horror story going to the car lot?
Okay, what you need to know is that when you buy a used vehicle, you're buying the vehicle's pedigree, its history, its repair record, the maintenance schedule, and if you don't get the records of all of that, I wouldn't buy the car. You want a car with what's called full records. You want to look for a car that you are buying from the owner, in many instances if it's a private sale, because there are a lot of what are called curbsiders. These are guys that buy cars and then they say it's their Auntie Sally's car or whatever, and it's not. It's basically a car that they're just flipping to make some money, and they're called curbsiders. So what you want to do is you want to say, hey, is this your car? Why are you selling it? And they're saying, well, we're selling it because we need a new vehicle or a bigger vehicle, whatever. And then when you get to the car, you'll see if it has the full records, if the fella's name is Bob Jones, you'll see all of the documents have Bob Jones' name on it, right? So you want to try and find a car that has been, maybe it might be the second owner, but you have full records and you can validate that this was the person that really drove the car. Then you want to get a third-party inspection, whether you have somebody like the Automobile Club, CAA, BCAA, or the Alberta Motor Club come to inspect the car, or you take it to a mechanic. If the person selling the car does not allow you to take or you don't have to drive it there, they can take it there and drop the car off and have it inspected, then you don't want it either. Another thing you want to do is make sure that the mechanic checks to see if it's been in an accident. And if you live in a jurisdiction where they have to report if a vehicle's been in an accident, you want to get that checked. I think you're calling from the West Coast, so therefore you can go to ICBC and get an accident report on the car. If the vehicle's been in an accident, it'll all come back on that report.
Great. Thank you, Zach.
Okay.
All right.
Anytime. We're going to go to Dave next. Hey, Dave.
Hi. I've got a question about hardtop and convertibles.
Yes.
They used to have the frameless door glass with metal trim,
mm-hmm.
and these were discontinued some time ago by the major manufacturers. That is.
So what you're saying is the side windows had frames around them?
No, they had frameless. They were frameless for convertibles and hardtops, and they also had metal trim attached to it. The metal trim was discontinued by
yes.
various
yeah.
manufacturers, and I have wondered why the metal trim was discontinued because it...
Well, that whole look, that flush mount look, is now the sort of industry standard. A couple of things. First, they can get a nice solid fit with the glass to the rubber seal. And the other thing is that wind resistance, anything that's on the outside of the car that can catch the wind of the vehicle is going to produce resistance. And any little thing that they can do to reduce the amount of wind that is being caught on the vehicle helps with fuel consumption. The car manufacturers are doing a lot of stuff underneath the car that you can't see. There's liners and trays that help the wind roll underneath the car or slip underneath the car, I should say, and it reduces the amount of drag. So I would suspect that's one. Another thing is chrome rusts, you know, and pits.
Yes.
So that was a real style thing that they used to do in the 60s and 70s. And I think it was around 74, 75, they stopped making convertibles altogether in the U.S. And and then they came back many, many years later with the sort of flush mount. But you like the chrome look.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, you got to get a classic.
Right.
Go get yourself a classic.
A 66 Mustang I bought brand new.
You have it?
Yes, I do.
You bought it new?
Yes.
You're the one owner. You're the guy with the full records. You're the guy I want to buy the car from. So what color is it? What is it?
Red and red interior.
And is it got the big motor? Has it got the six-cylinder?
I've got a 289 two-barrel carb, which is 200 horsepower.
Wow. Is it automatic, manual?
Yeah, automatic.
Nice. Yeah. In good shape?
Very good shape.
Yeah. That's a beauty. You hold on to that. Did you drive it much?
Yes. I still drive it to keep the fluid circulated. And with the Greater Vancouver Mustang Association, I'm one of the very few that can say they actually bought their car brand new.
That's pretty rare. Do you know, I heard a stat that 25% of all Mustangs are sold in Vancouver. You
really?
Know that? Yeah, I heard that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you talk with your Mustang pals there, see if they can corroborate that.
Yes, I will.
Okay, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Elaine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's the dealio?
L-U-C.
Okay, so...
First three letters.
Yeah, well, we'll have to look up that and in the VIN and see where L is. And if it says China, you know what? That might be a transition from Japan to China.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I wouldn't worry about it
okay.
at all. I think that Honda makes excellent products, and their reliability is proven to be fantastic, and that Fit is a great car. You
yes,
chose
it
a
is.
Great, great car.
Okay, great.
So I think you sleep it well at night.
Uh-huh.
I know. The other thing is, you know, all our iPads and iPods and Nikon and Canon cameras, you know where they're all made?
In
China.
I was going to say, there was a time when products made in Japan were ridiculed,
mm-hmm.
and now I notice that some dealerships are making a point of pointing out that, you know, their cars are actually manufactured in Japan.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I remember as a kid growing up, if it had a sticker on the back saying made in Taiwan, we used to laugh. And now. But you know what? The Chinese manufacturing facilities are capable of producing some of the highest quality goods. Like
yes.
I mentioned, you know, beautiful laptops and phones and things. So why not
okay.
cars?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you very much,
okay,
Zach. Really
Elaine, anytime.
It. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Cheers. Enjoy your car. All right. We're ready for open phones for the rest of the show. 1-877-399-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. I think if this is true with the Fit, that might be the first Chinese-made car to come to our domestic marketplace that I can think of. Someone might know and have a better idea, but I believe that's the first Chinese-made car that I can think of in the modern era that has come to our shores. We're going to check in with Mark Bergevin in a second with another good news story. More of your calls when we come back next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. Each and every week we check in with Mark Bergevin from Odessa and find out about a good news story, a vehicle that's gone across the public auction block in 60 seconds. What's this one about, Mark?
This one's a great news story, Zach. A 2009 Chrysler 300. The customer was moving out of province, didn't want the hassle of bringing the car, didn't know what to do, so he heard about us on the radio, thought he'd give it a try, so the bidding went crazy and he sold his vehicle for a whopping $2,300 more than he wanted for it. So how it goes is he brought the vehicle down to us, we had a look at the vehicle, we appraised it at $13,000, and he decided, Zach, to consign it to the auction for $12,000, so kind of eager to get it sold. Well, guess what? It brought $14,300, so more than he wanted, more than we thought it would, and everybody goes away a winner.
A nice car, too.
Yeah, no, great car, and there's lots of demand for these types of cars. Good kilometers, 60,000 kilometers, so just the perfect match, Zach.
All right, Mark, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, if you can't remember the website for Odessa there, you can also go to my website, motormouth.ca, which might be easy to remember. Motormouth.ca, you see the banner ad scrolling through the top there, and you're more than welcome to click on that, and it'll get you to them. Yeah, just check the VIN number, and for those of you who are not aware, the little metal plate on the dashboard that you see through the front windshield, that's your VIN number. It's also on all your identification for the car. That's basically the birth certificate for your car, where it was made, the paint code numbers, all the stuff that's in the car. And depending on what the first letter or number is, it tells you where the car was manufactured. If you see a car and the first number and letter are 2A, Toyota Corolla, Honda Civic, Camaro from Chevrolet, the Chevy Equinox, those are all cars made in Canada, 2A. 1A are cars made in the United States. if you see JA, that's Japan. And now I'm hearing that Fit is being made in China and sold here in Canada, which I think is the first car I can think of. And it starts with an LA or an LO. And those are the first two letters that show the car is made in China. There you go. All right, off to the phone board we go, and we say hello to Mike. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Good morning, Zach. Some questions on car batteries.
Hmm?
Can maintenance-free batteries, could you add fluid to them?
I without seeing it, I don't believe so. The reality is, and a lot of people don't realize this, that a battery is only really going to last you 3 to 5 years. And people think they should last much, much longer. So I'm not sure exactly what you mean by maintenance-free. Can you open the top of the battery?
No, they don't have the roll of a cap.
That's right. So that basically means you can't put anything in it.
Okay.
It's a sealed unit. You can get it checked, and it's a good idea when you're getting your oil checked, oil changed, to get them to check the battery. Do you know when the damage happens to your battery?
When it's not used for a long time.
Well, yeah, we can run it down, but what do you think, it's the hot or the cold weather that damages a battery?
The hot.
That's right. Hot weather, vibration as well. And so when you're driving this summer in the hot weather, that can, you know, really deteriorate your battery. And it's only when you get that first cold snap that the battery shows the signs that it's degraded to the point where it needs to be replaced.
And isn't it damaged in the hot because some of the liquid evaporates?
The reason why, I don't know. I just know that that's when it happens. You know, I didn't do so well in chemistry.
Okay.
Mike, you know, I'm not the guy you want me to help you cram for your chemistry exam. So that's something that you can get. Just get it checked when you're getting your oil change, and they can give you sort of a status of where your battery is in its life.
And what about the deep cycle batteries? Are they available for cars? Because
yes, they are.
Use...
Interstate makes them, and they're one of the biggest suppliers of batteries, and a lot of shops sell those. So you want to ask when you're going. You know, depending on the kind of car you have, it might be limited to the kinds of batteries you can get based on the size that it has to fit into.
Okay. I rarely use the car, and
if you don't use the car,
if
you don't use the car very often, go to, you know, a Canadian Tire, for example, and get what's called a trickle charger. This plugs into your cigarette lighter, and then it plugs into the wall. And they cost, you know, anywhere from $40 to $100. They're not that expensive, and they just keep a very small current going into your electrical system. Will keep your battery. I use that in my car when I'm going away for 3 weeks. It's going to be plugged in while I'm gone.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Cheers.
Okay.
All right. We have Phil, Margaret, and Lily on the phone, and we have open phones for the rest of the show. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome at 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. This is our last call for open phones for the next few weeks, so you're more than welcome to jump in, and we'll get going when we return next on Driving. And we are back, and you're more than welcome anytime you have time to spin over to my website, which is motormouth.ca. And on the homepage, you'll see 7 main stories. Then you can also dig deeper in there and find all kinds of interesting things. There's a video I did on the Porsche Panamera GTS, the Mercedes GLK diesel that's coming out, the new Lexus ES. There's also information on the Buick Verona, which I thought was an excellent car, the smaller Toyota Prius C, the Ford F-150 EcoBoost, and the Dodge Dart, which will be arriving shortly in dealers, and lots of information, other cars, and you name it. There's old radio shows. If you missed the radio show, there's also interviews that are all posted on my website, motormouth.ca. So when you get a second, go and check that out. Back to the phone board. We say hello to Lily. Hey, Lily, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Yeah, we're trying to find out the value of a 1987 Mercury Grand Marquis.
Yeah.
It's for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's the original owner, and it's got 377,000 kilometer four-door
mm-hmm.
and a partial vinyl roof.
Mm-hmm.
It's gray. And we're non-smoker, no pets, no kids in the car. And in a garage.
Okay, Lily. As nice a car as it sounds, and the yes. Grand Marquis was the cousin to the Crown Victoria, right? The
yes.
the Ford Crown Victoria, which has been mm-hmm. used by taxis and police cars for years, but no longer. They don't make those cars anymore.
No.
They're gone. So the bad news is, Lily, it's not worth much
mm-hmm.
because of its age. It's an 87. It's got 300 plus thousand kilometers on it, and it must be a nice looking car, and it served
it
you well.
It is beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so the reality is it's not worth much money. If I'm not sure that Canadian Black Book numbers go back that far, And that's the sort of the wholesale price for the car, right?
Yes.
What a dealer would what it would get at auction. So that's something you might want to consider is take it to, say, ADESA and get them to auction it off for you. Because somebody might want that car in reliable transportation for an inexpensive price, but it's not worth much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's just like a friend. He is a senior, and he would like to sell it. So
What I would suggest is you can put it on free sites like Craigslist.
Yes.
Right? And Kijiji.
Yeah.
And then put it on there. There's probably not going to be a lot of takers for it. And if that's not working for you, then you want to go to send it to the auction, ADESA auction. If you go to my website, motormouth.ca,
yes.
You click on the top, it'll say ADESA, and then you get the phone number, and they'll get you the number for the people in Calgary who do the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So you don't even have a bulk park figure.
Why don't I open it to the callers? I think it might be worth $1,000 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You might be able to get a nice holiday out of it. Okay?
That wouldn't be me, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Phil, what do you think a 1987 Grand Marquis worth?
Hello, Jack.
Yeah, what do you think an 87 Grand Marquis worth?
I think it would depend on what shape it is.
Yeah,
I got an 88 van, and I've been offered 500, but the thing is, it's got a brand new transmission and a brand new motor.
You better keep it.
I turned down $2,000 on it already. But the question I got for you, Mark, I'm driving a 2011 Mazda.
Yeah.
Excellent car. Metallic, like it's a metal flake, eh?
Is it a Mazda 3?
It's a Mazda 3.
Mm-hmm.
But the question I got for you and your listeners, you can just educate us a little bit. I got a bunch of brochures from it's a reliable dealer out here, a Mazda dealer. And he gives me a bunch of brochures and says, when I get home, I read all the brochures, all the stats on it, and it says, congratulations on your new Mazda 3 GT. But
right.
I look at the back of it, and it's got all in chrome Mazda 3, but there's no GT written on the back.
Right. Is it the hatchback?
On the back of the...
No, is it a hatchback?
No, it's not a hatchback, just a little wee four-door.
Yeah, but they didn't say GT. What engine does it have?
Are you still there?
Yeah, what engine does it have? Does it have the 2-liter engine? Or the bigger engine?
It's got the small engine, the 2.5?
A 2.5 is the GT then, yeah. If it's the 2-liter, 2.0?
Yes.
That's not the GT. So you've got the 2.5.
It goes like stink. I'm used to driving an 88 Chevy, you know?
Yeah, well, you've probably got the GT then.
Well, the guy warned me. He said, when you take this out, you better be careful because it's you're going to get speeding tickets with it, eh?
Yeah. So what I would do is, get out your...
manual?
No, yeah, the identification on the car, the VIN and all that, and it should tell you if it's the GT. And if it's got the 2.5-liter motor, then it is the GT.
It is a 2.5-liter.
2.5, yeah, great car.
I love the car. Thank you, Jack.
All right, anytime.
Enjoy your show.
Appreciate it. Call Bye-bye. Again. All Bye-bye. Right, that's a happy customer. That's good. He's got the Mazda 3 GT. Okay, Margaret, what's up?
Hi, Zach. I have a 1990 Honda Civic.
Yep.
And I was just wondering what kind of additives you would recommend for that type of car.
So it's a 90 Honda Civic, so we're talking about a 22-year-old car. How many kilometers are on it?
It's about 130.
You know, it's not even halfway used yet. Now, the only problem you get with a car of that vintage is...
Burns the oil.
Is... the rust, right? Is there any rust on it?
No. We
okay.
just had it repainted.
Yeah, you're good to go. So what you want to do is you want to look at changing the oil regularly and just keep doing what you're doing, taking it in and getting it serviced regularly, and it should keep going. So what are you looking for? Things like springs and shocks and those sorts of things?
Well, what name brand you would recommend for a fuel injector?
If you want to run a fuel line cleaner through, it's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
There are several different brands out there. STP is probably the most famous one because they've been around for a long time, and they're sold throughout many channels like Canadian Tire, Walmart, places like that. So STP is one you can. They have several different ones that clean your fuel line. They also have ones that take out condensation and all kinds of things. So that's a good sort of baseline product that you can use, 2-3 times a year with no problem at all. The one that I like to use every 6 months is called Redline. Red Line, and it's a fuel treatment, and you can put a little bit in every time you fill up with gas, or you can just run a whole bottle through, say, twice a year, which is what I do. And I tend to use it just before I go on a longer trip, right?
Okay.
And it helps keep your engine clean and all the gunk and things in the inside that can get. Red Line isn't easy to find. Often it's sold at auto parts stores, so you might want to look it up and phone an auto parts store near you and ask them if they have it.
Okay,
so you can go and use the sort of the STP style. You can go and spend more money and get something, a specialty product. But, you know, doing that every 6 months or so is not a bad idea. Other than that, just keep you've obviously done a good job maintaining the car, and keep doing that. And those cars, they're like a Swiss watch. They just keep on going.
Yeah, and so the Red Line, you'd put in every 6 months a full bottle?
I do that. You can read on there. You can do a little bit every fuel fill up if you like.
Okay.
But I just run it every sort of 6 months on when I'm going on a longer trip. If you're going on a a couple hundred kilometer drive, if you ever do that, it's a good idea to put it in there and run it through when you, as much as you can.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
It's good
Thank
stuff.
You.
Okay.
Good,
good luck.
Bye.
All right. We're going to go to Al next. Hey, Al. Go ahead. Al.
Hello. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. This might seem like a goofy question, but...
Is your radio on, Al?
No, it's off now.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I bought an Elantra last August.
Nice car.
Yeah, it's a lovely car. I love it. Now, after the 6 months I'd had it, I got a notice about coming in for the regular maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And that the car should have about 6,000 kilometers on it.
Right.
It actually had 2,500.
Right.
So I sort of got in an argument. Why do I have to take it in after 2,500?
Okay, what I want you to do is, did you look in your manual?
Yeah.
And what did the manual say?
Well, the manual says 6 months.
6 months or 6,000 kilometers.
Well, it says either or. Either or.
Either or.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, oil can, if it's not being used a lot, that's why some people like to switch to a synthetic oil. It's more stable, and it doesn't break down as quickly. It's better in cold and hot temperatures, and that's why some people invest in using that. If you want to follow the regular schedule as stated by the manufacturer, which I think is the best practice, is follow that and get it done. You might want to have a word with the technician and say, can I push it to 9 months or so? Some cars that, my own car that uses synthetic oil, it says X number of kilometers or an annual service. So just change the oil annually if you're not driving that much. But that's synthetic oil. So that's something you want to talk over with them. The baseline for anybody with any car is follow the manufacturer's suggested service intervals. So I know it might sound excessive to you to have the oil changed, but if that's really what the manufacturer is suggesting for you, you're not driving it that much. The oil will probably last you a full year, but you don't want to have any issues. Ask them if switching to synthetic, you might be able to do it annually instead of every 6 months.
Well, when I talk to the technician, I say, if you don't do it when it's supposed to be done, you might
void the warranty.
Void the warranty.
Yeah, and that's, that is true. So you don't want to ever have that pop up as an issue.
It just sounds goofy because now it's a year old. Well, it's not a year old. And they tell me it should have 12,000 kilometers.
Well, for the average driver, you're not obviously bombing back and forth to work and running around. I mean, the average Canadian puts on 20,000 plus kilometers a year, and you're doing 2.5.
Yeah.
So you're doing a tenth of what the average person does. But your oil still needs to be changed. Okay?
Well, okay.
So see if you can push it. Maybe you can do it every 9 months, and they might say that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, Al?
Thank you.
Okay, cheers. That's one of the benefits with the manufacturers going in. A lot of the higher-end cars have synthetic oil as delivered from the factory and as required by the manufacturer for the life of the vehicle. And it's a more expensive product to put in, but they can stretch those service intervals much longer. Here's a perfect example, and a lot of people are mind-boggled when they hear that. You go into a Porsche dealer and you buy a brand-new $1,000 plus Porsche 911. The first oil change is at 24,000 kilometers. The first oil change. That's remarkable that they can stretch it out that long. And with those cars, every year, if you don't get the kilometers wrapped up to 24,000, you change the oil anyway. So they do what's called an annual service. So talk to your technician, see if you can meet them somewhere in the middle. Quick break, and without it voiding your warranty, we're going to talk with Rick Balkin about newcarselloff.com and more of your calls next on Driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. Rick Balkin from newcarselloff.com joins us. Really excited because next week, Rick, on Canada Day, July 1st, we're going to announce the winner of the Smart Car Contest. So I guess it's the last few days to enter at newcarselloff.com, right?
That's right. We've got people entering a contest from as far away as New Brunswick right up to Vancouver Island. We've taken over 12,000 entries as of right now, and we're doing this to promote our site. We want people to go to our site and have a look at it. And in order to enter the draw, you need to go to newcarselloff.com, go to our contest entry page, and it's a sneaky way for you to get to our website. We want you to see what we're doing there, and that's where we're giving away this car.
Okay, if you've never been to newcarselloff.com, give us the Coles notes, the 1, 2, 3, on what is exactly that you do.
It's where new car dealers go to post their slower-moving new car inventory at deeply discounted prices. So it could be anything from last-year model cars to too many of the same, or maybe any vehicle that doesn't quite fit in their marketplace that they're currently selling in. So that's what we do. We get them to post it up to 40% off the original retail price, and we limit them to a maximum 3% markup above dealer invoice, so that the deal you're getting is going to be a great deal.
And people don't realize that a brand new car, you know, even just 3% above invoice, there's not much in it for the dealer, is there?
No, it's amazing. You know, as we post cars and we check prices, we realize that on some of these lower priced cars, it's amazing how little margin these dealers actually do work with. So in some cases, a $500 discount could in fact be 90% of their profit.
Yeah, and they have, as you said, too many of one certain car, a car that's not moving in their area, and they need to move it. So they lose and the buyer wins, right?
That's right. Their disadvantage is that they have this inventory. Your advantage is you can buy it at a substantial discount over what that car would originally sell for off their car lot.
Yeah, 30, 35, 40% I've seen on your website. Newcarselloff.com is the website. These are deeply discounted brand new cars with full warranties that can be shipped right to your front door. Thanks, Rick. We'll speak to you next week, and we'll give and we'll give the smart car away.
Sounds good. Thanks, Zach.
Hey, and welcome back to the show. We get to the phone board. We say hello to Donna next. Hey, Donna. Go ahead, Donna. Oh, Donna. All right, we'll put Donna on hold, and we'll come back to that. And we go to Georgina.
Hello.
Hey, Georgina.
Yes.
What's going on?
Okay, what's going on with me is that I've got a I've spoken to you before about this, but it's a 1986 Westphalia camper van.
Didn't I ask you to go and see my pal John?
Yes, you did.
And what happened?
And the van doesn't want to go.
So when I spoke to you last, which was maybe, what, a year ago?
Oh, a long time ago.
And the van's still sitting there?
Yeah.
Asked you to call me if you didn't get it fixed, because I'd buy it from you.
Well, that's what I'm into now, is that I've had some health problems.
Mm-hmm.
That I've got to change a whole bunch of things in my life.
What's wrong with the Westie again?
The Westie has got, it's working on two cylinders.
Right. So it sounds like you need a new motor or a rebuild.
Yes.
Okay. Joey, can you lift the phone with Georgina? I'm going to put you on hold and get Georgina's number, because we did this last year, Georgina, but I need you to follow through. Either get in touch with the person to fix it, or call me and we'll see if we can strike a deal. I love Volkswagen, old Volkswagens. I actually have a Volkswagen van, but this is a camper van, and it's always definitely interesting because they're sought after. People love them. Suzanne, go ahead, Suzanne.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, hello. I was wondering if you could give me some ideas. I'm a little old lady, and I'm looking to get a different car, and a compact. Could you give me some ideas?
What do you mean by compact? Do you like a car? Can you give me an example, like a Honda Civic size, something a little smaller?
Well, something like that, or there's the Chevy Cruze or the Hyundai Elantra.
Right. Okay. And how much do you want to spend?
Well, around 20.
Okay. There's lots of cars to choose from. Yes, the Elantra is an excellent choice. The Honda Civic is an excellent choice. If you want to save a little bit money on the starting price, but then put more features in it, make it nicer for you, the Hyundai Accent, I think, is an excellent product. It's a hatchback. It's easy for, you know, putting your groceries in and out of the back. You know, it's got the lift gate at the back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an excellent product. And I think that the Kia Rio is also an excellent car. Okay. So those Korean cars are all very good. In addition to that, I think that the Ford Fiesta is another spectacular car. A great driving car. It's perfect. Do you take people in it very often?
Not too often.
Just yourself, mostly.
Mm.
Yeah. So those are all very good cars. And you get into the slightly bigger cars. We already mentioned the Civic and the Elantra. The Mazda 3 is also another very good car. So those are the sorts of cars you're going to be looking at. I would tend to put you in. See, what's happened is cars have gotten bigger over the years, right?
Yes.
So what used to be sold as a subcompact car is almost the size that a compact car was 10 years ago. So that's why I'm suggesting the Kia Rio and the Hyundai Accent, because they're hatchbacks and they're almost the same size that the bigger class of cars was 10 years ago. Those two cars in particular have excellent engine, fabulous fuel economy, and a spectacular starting price. So for your $20,000, you could get a car nicely equipped and really be satisfied with it.
Well, that sounds
instead
wonderful.
Of getting instead of getting a slightly bigger car and getting not much in it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you want the things, like for example, the Kia Rio has heated seats. Have you ever had a car with heated seats?
Never.
You will love it.
Oh,
on a
good.
Chilly morning, you put those on, you're nice and toasty before the car warms up. It's spectacular. You'll love it. So check those ones out.
I will. Thank you okay. very much.
Anytime, Suzanne. If we can get back to Donna. Donna, you there now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Donna. What's your question?
Okay, I have two cars I'm looking at.
Real quick.
The Kia Soul for you. They're having a sale this weekend. It's quite $2,200 off.
Yeah, quickly. I've got about a minute left.
Okay. They're saying the documentation fee and the dealer markup is $400.
What I would suggest you say is I'm not paying dealer documentation fee.
Yes.
Other than that, you have to pay the delivery charges and the freight. That has to be paid.
Right.
Just tell them, I'd really love to buy your Kia Soul, but I'm not paying documentation fees. And if they don't want to sell you the car, go to the next Kia dealer. By the way, the Kia Soul just won its category in the J.D. Power quality study, okay?
Okay.
I've always liked the Soul. It's obviously a very good car, as according to J.D. Power and Associates, so you've picked a good one, okay?
Okay.
Get in there and nail them on the price.
Dealer markup fee included.
Yeah, well, they got to make money, right? The dealer's got to make some money. I got to run.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That's it for this week. I'm Zach Spencer. I'll speak to you next week on Driving.